something completely different.
Welcome to Shout Out. Out of the closet and into your ears.
And we're back.
And so soon.
This week we chat to Jake from Stonewall about hand-holding in public.
For same-sex couples, this can be sometimes a little daunting.
Plus,
Queer Story is back and Ez looks at the ladies of Llangollen.
All right here.
In the next hour on Shout Out.
Should we just play that instead of chatting?
No.
Just a suggestion.
No.
Well, what about Meta then?
Oh, are we on that already? No, not, let's not give it any airtime, Steph. Next. I'm bored. I'm over it.
Well, what about Trump then?
Oh, really? You are scraping that barrel today. Okay. What shall we talk about?
Let's not talk about
fires.
The trifecta.
Let's not talk. Oh, Jesus.
Did you say fires?
I did say fires.
Okay.
But no, there's so much that we could talk about. Like,
what would you like to talk about?
The last time I was here. No, I'm joking. It's not always about me. But like, we start off with Meta and then we go to Trump and then we go to Musk. Jesus. Well, you need some holy water. You need Jesus.
Can I just welcome back somebody from our deep past who's just joined the team again? Lucy Potter, welcome back to Showtime.
Welcome back. Back.
Nice to see you over there on the sofa relaxing.
She said the sofa's lovely.
Yeah, and she'll be up with news because Terry's going to share the news today,
she
aren't
can
you,
take
Terry?
My lovely warm seat.
You're not going to hog
wow,
the limelight.
Oh, Terry.
Well, you know, it's all about me.
New year. New year, new me. Sharing. Sharing.
Sharing.
Sharon's caring. Anyway, how have we all been? Isn't it cold?
It is incredibly cold.
It'll take you long to get to the weather.
Yeah, I'm really, really, really cold. I'm wearing a thermal insulated coat and I'm still cold. It's not okay.
It ain't the one. What's it trying to prove?
What? What, my coat?
No, the weather.
Oh, the weather. Like, right, yeah.
Like, what's it trying to prove?
Don't
There's
know.
No need for it
there
to
is
be
no
this
need.
Cold.
It's unless, very dramatic.
Unless you're going to absolutely blizzard so I get a working from home day. I really, yeah. Like, I couldn't be bothered, to be honest. There's just no need.
Bothered?
Bothers.
It's just no need. I'm over it already. That's why in 9 days I'm going on holiday.
Of course.
Hands up. Who's had the gay flu that's going around?
Gay flu?
I was
going
to say, well, Steph, please. That's a trigger. Christ alive.
What's the gay flu?
Well, it's what the fascists are calling it because it's our fault.
Oh, the flu's our fault.
Yes, of course. Like,
the weather's our fault.
Bad weather's our fault.
Yeah.
The flu.
Yeah. So LA's our fault.
I was just going to say the fires are our fault.
Yeah. I mean, I know it.
We all know it.
We all know it.
We all know it.
We just don't like to talk about it.
We control the weather.
Yeah.
Storm was my favourite X-Men, and she's a queer icon, I think.
Yeah.
So, like, quite frankly, it is probably true that we do cause everything.
Yeah.
Exactly. So don't mess with us.
Basically.
Yeah. Don't mess with us.
Stop poking the fire.
I will get my pentagram out on my floor with amyl lube and other things on each of the pots, and I'm just sat in the middle calling on
the fire gods
calling on
our off-comma meter just ticked into the red just very slowly.
Why? I didn't even swear. That's absolutely fine. I said other items. I could have got a lot worse.
That's true.
You opened up with deep. Just saying.
We've missed you, Arnold.
Oh, I'd love to say the same.
Thank you.
No, I'm joking. I've missed all of you as well. It's been time, isn't it?
Well, yeah, a couple of months.
I think it was World AIDS Day was the last.
Oh, it would have been WAD, wouldn't it?
So,
speaking of the gay flu.
It was, when was that? November, did you say?
Yeah, towards the end of, wasn't it? Yeah.
Can I just say, if you chat too much now, you're not going to have enough room at the back end of the show.
And we do love a lot of room at the back end, don't we?
Indeed. Okay, so I'm going to shut our mics down and carry on with the show.
The Shout Out Listeners Awards for 2025, sponsored by YouGo, are now open. There's 22 awards over five categories, including performers, artists and writers, events, groups and organisations, places and people, and Shoutout's most prestigious awards of them all, the Gold Awards. For 2025, the number of Gold Awards has increased to five, including Diversity Champion of the Year, Most Diverse Company, the Make It Happen Award, Inspirational Role Model of the Year, and our most prestigious of them all, Hero of the Year. The Shoutout Listeners Awards are your awards. To nominate someone for an award, visit our brand new website, awards.shoutoutradio.lgbt.
The Shoutout Podcast.
Well, that's a new version of that song.
I do love that version. That's Ian Storm, John Laurent, and Carl Clarks featuring Polina Vita. And, of course, Losing My Religion. Love it.
I lost mine years ago.
Yeah.
I'd heard that. Didn't that get in B247? Oh, no, it wasn't. It was the News of the World. I knew it was one of them.
Oh, I have. I have been in a few publications.
Okay.
But that's
right. Something that's serious now about holding hands. Now, I know there's a lot of gay and lesbian couples who are a little bit trepidatious about holding hands in public. When you do see it, it always gives me tingles. And I think, oh, well done you, you know, because you don't know what you're going to meet in the street, whether it's going to be a smile and good on you or some abuse. I met with Jake O'Dwyer from Stonewall, who've got a new initiative. Stonewall have been on Shout Out quite a few times, actually, over the years, and it's our 15th birthday this coming summer. And so, as you can imagine, Stonewall are quite important to the LGBTQ community, so they've been on quite a few times. Now, they got a new initiative called Hold My Hand. Everyone deserves to feel safe being themselves, to express their affection for people they care most about. Sadly, only 44% of LGBTQ plus people would feel comfortable holding their partner's hand in public. It's time for a change. I'm joined by Jake O'Dwyer from Stonewall. Hi, Jake.
Hi, Steffi. Thanks for having us.
You're very, very welcome. Now, let's have a bit of background first of Stonewall, when it started. And obviously, you've been under a lot of pressure from the right wing, just as everyone who's got their heads above the parapet. So yeah. Let's go back a bit in the years of when Stonewall first started out.
Yeah, thank you. So Stonewall came into existence in 1989. So we are 35 this. We were 35 last summer. So a future happy birthday to you, and a past happy birthday to us. So yeah, we're a bit of an old lag now. So we've been around for 35 years, and the reason why Stonewall was the inception of Stonewall was in direct response to a pernicious piece of legislation called Section 28. So for those of us who are not old enough to remember what Section 28 was, it was a piece of legislation that banned the promotion of homosexual relationships in local authorities. So this meant that schools, colleges, weren't allowed to talk about same-sex relationships, which also led to a load of teachers kind of going back in the closet within schools. And also it meant that a generation of children grew up not learning about same-sex relationships, or just the fact that it was okay to be gay, queer. And so, yeah, there were no positive role models. So that piece of legislation was announced by the government at the time in 1988 and came into effect the following year. And that was the same year that Stonewall was founded. Our founders include the likes of Sir Ian McKellen, Pamson Clement, and also Michael Cashman. So yeah, we've been around for 35 years. And since then, we have we managed to see the repeal of Section 28 in England and Wales and Scotland. And since then, we've been at the, you know, we've been at the forefront of leading the way for LGBTQ plus rights, including civil partnerships, same-sex marriage, the right to adopt, better healthcare, access to IVF, inclusive education in schools, and so much more.
Excellent. But specifically, you've come on to Shout Out to have a chat about your initiative called Hold My Hand. Can you tell us a bit about that, Jake?
Yeah, absolutely. So last year, we commissioned some research just to kind of get a bit of a picture of what it means to be LGBTQ plus in the UK in a contemporary society. And one of the most alarming stats that came out of that piece of research was that less than half of the people surveyed were comfortable holding their partner's hand in public. And as you mentioned at the top of this spot, that Stonewall has been under attack by right-wing media and some rather vocal, critical people. And that has kind of emboldened, I think, people to kind of roll back a little bit on the progress that we've made as a community and a society. And we've seen that hate crimes over the last 5 years based on sexual orientation have increased by 112%, and that's risen by 186% for people who are trans or gender non-conforming. And that is really shocking. And when we think about something as fundamental as holding our partner's hand in public, that's a basic human right. And, you know, the act of holding someone's hand as a, you know, as a moment of comfort or tenderness, security, safety, or just general affection shouldn't be something that we should be something that we take for granted. It shouldn't be something that causes so much pain and stress and anxiety.
Indeed. And I know quite a few people, in fact, people who are members of the Shout Out team, who were frightened to death to hold hands. And when I walk through the city that I live in, luckily, I think where I live is quite open. It gives you a tingling sensation when you see same-sex couples holding hands and you think, yes, good on you. You know, but I still understand those who are trepidatious about it. I know that in the past, there's been holding hands spectaculars across different cities where, you know, LGBTQ people would meet up. And they'd walk down a main street all holding hands because they'd have the protection of each other. And obviously, because there's so many, the police around as well. But wouldn't it be a lovely planet if we could just do that? Like cisgendered heterosexual couples don't think anything of it. And yet LGBTQ couples have always got that in the back of their mind that they're going to be verbally or even physically abused.
Yeah, absolutely. And maybe we can start a movement. You know, maybe we could start a movement, a day a year where we all come together to hold hands in public and show I guess a level of could be a sense of community, a sense of pride in our relationships. And I think that's something that we need to take back. And it's great that, you know, throughout June and July and August, you know, there are pride celebrations up and down the country and across the world. But we shouldn't feel that, you know, we can go out and be ourselves one day or one week or one month in the year. You know, we're talking about people's lives, you know, 365 days a year. And that lack of safety, that second guessing, it leads to all sorts of problems for members of the community. You know, they're feeling anxious, not feeling safe. And so part of what we're trying to achieve with the Hold My Hand campaign is, well, there's two things, really. One is that we make anti-LGBTQ hate crimes aggravated offences, so that people who are convicted of them face the same punishments as people committing crimes based on race or religion. And the second one is that we hold the government to account in terms of implementing a hate crime strategy and action plan that tackles the barriers that many members of the community face when reporting hate crimes.
Indeed. Now, how do people get involved, Jake? And obviously, primarily, this is a fundraiser to help that cause and to help the community. How do people get involved and actually follow you and follow progress of Hold My Hand?
Well, there's a number of ways that people can get involved. So on the Stonewall website, on the landing page, actually, there's a link to the Hold My Hand campaign, which will tell everybody how they can get involved. And there's a form there where you can email your MP. It's really simple. All you need to do is put your postcode in and it will find your MP. And then you'll be given a kind of an email that you can then just fire off to your MP. It's really simple. And so that just raises the issue with your local MP. And I know that for some people, their MPs might not be as sympathetic as others, but I think the more noise we can make around this, the better. We've had just under 1,200 signatures so far. We'd like to get to 2,000 in the next couple of months, so that would be really good. We recently had our winter fundraising appeal as well, and that was raising money to help fund some of the campaigning work that we do around this as well. So if you're able to spare a few pounds, please feel free, after you've completed the form, the email your MP form, to leave a donation on the Stonewall website as well. I think one of the things that people forget is that Stonewall is a charity. We receive very little funding. We don't receive any kind of government funding, despite what you might read in the press about us. We are a small organization. I think we're seen to have a lot more power than we actually have and a lot more influence, but we are a really small organization, and our work is funded by the support of people up and down the country who are making donations. So I think those are probably the two main ways that you can get involved.
Excellent. Jake O'Dwyer, thank you so much for spending time with Shout Out, and good luck with the fundraiser, and more power to your elbow. And maybe we'll have you back on in a few months' time as the Pride start coming in, and see how the Hold My Hand effort has got on. Thank you so much, Jake.
Thank you so much for having me. Cheers.
Shout Out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out podcast.
Femero, Clara, Elias and Zveta. And a little ditty called Arrows.
It's nice, isn't it? Was quite a nice little ditty.
It was a little ditty, yes.
It was a little ditty.
2 minutes and 36 seconds.
Love a little ditty. Are we ready over the other side of the desk? Are we ready? Have you taken a breath? Have you loosened and moistened your lips?
Very much so.
Great.
Can't wait.
Are you ready? Time for the news.
This is Shout Out News. Welcome along.
South African LGBTQIA web portal Mamba Online and the South African gay radio network Gay SA Radio are both reporting that the French Society of Paediatric Endocrinology and Diabetology has issued its first national guidance in support of gender-affirming care for transgender youth, including the use of puberty blockers. The French Society has now refuted many of the CAS Review's conclusions through its guidelines for professionals supporting charting the hormonal transition of trans youth. You may recall Pink News and other British LGBT plus media revealing that the CAS review of 2024 into trans healthcare in the UK was biased and stuffed full of women who call themselves TERFs, which stands for Trans Exclusive Radical Feminists. Dr. Hilary Cass, the report author, openly cavorted with extremist TERFs before going against most other specialists' findings in recommending that puberty blockers not be prescribed in the UK. By contrast, this new French report, experts argue in it that the benefits of gender-affirming care outweigh any potential risks, stating, "A wait-and-see attitude in adolescence does not reduce psychological distress, increases the risk of committing suicide, and can affect psychoaffective and cognitive development." On the often debated impact of puberty blockers on brain development, the authors conclude that no negative effects have been observed on IQ, academic performance, or executive function. Mamba Online concludes, "The French guidelines offer a vital counterpart to narratives that restrict gender-affirming healthcare. They provide a robust, evidence-based perspective on tailored gender-affirming healthcare for trans youth, particularly those under the age of 16.
United States-based gay magazine Out reports that a star of RuPaul's Drag Race UK has passed away at the age of 32. James Lee Williams, also known as their drag name The Vivienne, was beloved by many people, said their agent in a statement released on Sunday. "It is with immense sadness that we let you know our beloved James Lee Williams, The Vivienne, has passed this weekend," the statement reads. "James was an incredibly loved, warm-hearted and amazing person. Their family are heartbroken at the loss of their son, brother and uncle. They are so proud of the wonderful things James achieved in their life and career. The Vivienne's cause of death is unknown and the statement declined to give any information. We will not be releasing any further details," the agent concluded. "We please ask that James's family are given the time and privacy they now need to process and grieve."
Now, copla is a Spanish form of music and performance not widely known outside of its home country. But London queer magazine QX traces the story in development from the days of resistance to the neo-fascist regime of General Franco and its championing the voices of the marginalised, including LGBTQIA plus people. The copla songs channel the queer and migrant experiences in Spain's early musicals, hitting all the right notes for gay people who love to laugh and cry to divas and their melodramatic music. In the 1980s, drag queens across Spain made copla their own type of music. A Spanish cabaret copla runs from the 14th to the 26th of January at the Other Palace Theatre, number 12 Palace Street in London. That's SW1E5JA. The play's writer Alejandro Postigo told QX, "Copla is a Spanish musical genre that channels the raw, unfiltered emotions of those who have felt out of place. Emerging in the early 20th century, it became a lifeline during Franco's dictatorship, a voice for the oppressed, exiled and forgotten. These poignant songs told stories of longing, heartbreak and also resilience, offering a way for people to preserve their identities and memories in the face of oppression."
That's your news summary for this week. There is sure to be more online, so be sure to check out Community Radio through the week, including our website at shoutoutradio.lgbt. For Shoutout News, this has been Lucy Potter
and Terry Starr.
Shoutout News.
National and international LGBT news for you.
For more information about Shoutout Radio, visit us online at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
Shoutout.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shoutout Podcast.
Night Call, London Grammar, slightly tampered with there by the Freemasons.
Oh, I do love a cheeky little Freemasons, like, tampering, I'm not going to lie.
I heard that rumour.
They do some good tamperings.
They do, so does Seventh Heaven.
Oh, yes, of course. Yes, they do. They do a good tampering as well, don't they?
Back to Queerstry. They're back. With Ezra Peregrine. Yep, the famous non-binary person. Who's slouching on the couch.
Famous or infamous?
Slouching on the couch.
Sorry, I forgot the in. Infamous.
The infamous Ezra.
Yes. Welcome.
Welcome.
Welcome back to Queer Story. Today I will be sharing with you the story of the ladies of Llangollen. And before I go any further, apologies for any incorrect pronunciations. Researching all of these different LGBTQIA plus people throughout history has allowed me to spend time delving into the past to bring back into the spotlight some of whom you may already know about, some you may not. The ladies of Llangollen were sassy top hat connoisseurs, friends of princesses and poets, dog lovers, cottage keepers and lesbian lovers, whose reputation lived on after their time through dedications to poems by the likes of Wordsworth and Byron, and ceramics of them graced in Victorian homes long after they passed away. But more simply, they were two women who fell in love and who then ran away together to live out their lives, away from everything and everyone that they knew. Eleanor Charlotte Butler, born on the 11th of May 1739, was a member of the Butler family, the Earls and later Dukes of Ormond. Butler was considered an overeducated bookworm by her family, whose family seat was Kilkenny Castle. She was educated in a convent in France and so spoke French fluently. Sarah Ponsonby, born on the 9th of December 1755, lived with relatives in Woodstock, County Kilkenny. She was a second cousin of Frederick Ponsonby, 3rd Earl of Bessborough, and thus a second cousin once removed of his daughter, Lady Caroline Lamb. She was the daughter of Chambre Brabazon Ponsonby and Louise Lyon. Although the ladies of Llangollen's fame, mainly down to them living with one another, was rather extraordinary at the time, romantic female relationships were far more common in 18th century Europe than people even realise today. Before researching women such as these and Anne Lister, I was unaware of just how common it was. It's impossible to find conclusive proof whether the relationship between Eleanor and Sarah was sexual or not, but there's abundant evidence that extremely intimate relationship was there, and it was full of love. They were inseparable from the moment they met. Their families lived 15 miles from each other. The two women met in 1768 and quickly became close. They spent every day in each other's company, and over the years they formulated a plan for a private rural retreat. It was their dream to live an unconventional life together. The two ladies had no intention of settling for the men their families felt were suitable matches. Their getaway plan was put into action on Monday, March 30th, 1778, when Sarah Ponsonby, a youthful and energetic 23-year-old, slipped out of her guardian's Georgian mansion in Woodstock, Kilkenny, the rest of the house asleep. As always, she was dressed in men's clothing, had a pistol on her, and carried her little dog Frisk. They had tried to run away before and had been prevented by their families. Sarah quickly made her way to the estate's barn, where Lady Eleanor Butler, a spinster 16 years her senior, was awaiting her, having decamped from Stony Butler Castle, 12 miles distant, on a borrowed horse. She too was wearing men's breeches and a top coat. I'd like to think I would have dressed similarly during this time, but it took strength of character, along with no care for other people's opinions, and so I am unsure if I would have had the courage to do so. Their long scheme plan was to ride through the night to Waterford, 23 miles away on the coast, and from there to embark for England, to live together somewhere in delicious seclusion, retirement, a life of sentiment and tenderness. However, it wasn't long before their families noticed they were missing, and in panic pursued them yet again, finding them asleep in a barn where they had sheltered overnight, accidentally missing the packet boat. They were dragged back to their individual homes and kept apart. Sarah then fell seriously ill with a fever and nearly lost her life, but through determination and rest she recovered, and then told her family that they shall not have any more say in how she lives her life, for she only desired to live and die with Miss Butler. This angered and distressed her family. They felt betrayed, but neither woman gave in nor accepted the wants of their families, and the more they fought back, the more their families finally gave in and allowed them to leave to start their lives together. So they left again on their journey to northern Wales. They were provided with a coach to the seaport and were accompanied by a butler housemaid, Mary Carroll, who worked and lived with them until they died. It was reported they were laughing merrily as they stepped into the coach. I expect that for them this represented the start of the rest of their lives. And so now in Wales, the ladies, as they were known in Llangollen, settled themselves and proceeded to pass 50 years in their Welsh vale, living the hyper-domesticated retirement dream that they had so longed for in Ireland. Interestingly, they soon became celebrated. Everything about them fascinated almost everyone who came to know them. During the ladies' long years in their home, called Place Nuet, it seems just about everyone beat a path to the heavily ornamented Gothic door of their remote cottage. Wordsworth and Southey composed poems under its low roof. Both Shelley and Byron turned up to talk and stare, apparently flummoxed by the orderly lives of these ladies. Even Charles Darwin came as a child to the company of his father. Lady Caroline Lamb, the novelist and lover of Lord Byron, and a distant relative of Sarah, made a visit too, as did Walter Scott. Even the Duke of Wellington, a treasured friend, and De Quincey, who was coldly received. On and on, the personages of the age made pilgrimage to the isolated Welsh village on the River Dee. Josiah Wedgwood visited the ladies to tour and opine about the rock formations of the surrounding savage landscape. English and Gender Studies Professor Nicole Reynolds write that the ladies of Llangollen carefully constructed and tried hard to control the public myth of themselves against insinuations of sexual impropriety. Domesticity was the solution. The two women transformed their low-roofed cot and, as Wordsworth described it, into a heavily ornamented, artfully contrived spectacle, a cottage ornée that became a pilgrimage site even after the ladies passed away. Eleanor Butler kept a very detailed, voluminous diary, not written in code like those by Anne Lister, but one which still shared her thoughts, feelings, and everyday experiences. She described a domestically idyllic life and offers us vivid insights into their life together. Lady Eleanor's diary was a small, dainty book measuring 4 inches square, bound by herself in buff-coloured paper. Every day is accounted for. The handwriting is a marvel of neatness, but can only be read easily by the aid of a magnifying glass. The lines and margins are as straight as those of a printed book, and there is not a single eraser throughout. The occupations of almost every hour are set down. Every day begins with the hour of rising and a weather report, scenery described in detail and often with enthusiasm. The gardener's doings, the visits of guests, books read, and all the little trivial incidences of their daily life were carefully entered. What I loved most about her diaries was the love she so clearly had for Sarah, or my Sally, my beloved, the darling heart, the joy of my life. At the end of each entry, the day is summed up in a phrase of which the following are examples: a silent, happy day, an undisturbed, peaceful day, a day of delight and uninterrupted retirement, sweet converse with the delight of my heart. She writes on Monday, 4th October 1784, cold, wet day, stayed in our library the entire day, reading, writing and sharing. And on Thursday, 22nd of September 1785, up at 7, dark morning, all the mountains enveloped in mist, thick rain, a fire in the library, delightfully comfortable. Breakfast at 8:30 from 9 till 1 writing. My beloved drawing Pembroke Castle, from 1 to 3 I read to her, and after dinner went hastily around the gardens. Rained without interruption the entire day, from 4 till 10 reading to my Sally, she drawing, from 10 to 11 sat over the fire conversing with my true beloved, a silent, happy day. And my beloved finished her map of the world with a neatness and accuracy peculiar to even herself, the writing and ornament particularly beautiful. The ladies lived together for 50 years. Their books and glassware carried both sets of initials, and their letters were jointly signed. Towards the end of their lives, they both dressed in black riding habits and men's top hats. Some visitors thought it was eccentric and outdated, especially the hair powder, but neighbours thought the clothes were practical for living outdoors. Feeling they'd have got on very well with Miss Anne Lister and Miss Anne Walker. But the most remarkable thing about these so-called recluses was their devotion to one another, which not only stood the test of time, but was kept up all through at an almost ecstatic pitch. Lady Eleanor died in 1829 when she was nearly 90. Miss Ponsonby died 3 years later. And that concludes the story of the ladies of Llangollen. I hope you have enjoyed listening about these two marvellous women. If you have any feedback or anyone you'd like covered, tweet us at shoutout_radio. You can listen to every Shoutout show again via our website, www.shoutoutradio.lgbt, as well as our podcasts, which are available on almost all podcast providers. segment was sponsored by Talk to the Rainbow.
Visit talktotherainbow.co.uk.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
Avamax.
Avamax.
Sorry, Ava. Ooh, touchy. She's rather
get the name right.
She's rather attractive, isn't she?
Yeah, she is, I think. From memory.
You think?
Yeah, she's all right. She ain't bad.
Yeah.
That's a bop, though. Absolute bop. That one's a banger. Well done.
Thank you.
Beaver approved.
Thank you.
That's all right,
thank
my love.
I think we ought to mention the Vivian, don't you?
Yes, I think so. It was very sad. The news dropped on Sunday and it, it was a little bit, wasn't on me bingo, like me 2025 bingo card, let's put it that way. But she was amazing. She was incredible. You know, even before Drag Race, she was crowned the RuPaul's Drag Race UK's ambassador, which was like 8 years ago. And then obviously she got cast for season one and then won it. And then kind of like took over the world, really. But she opened the doors for a lot of people. You know, she's just come off one theatre tour playing the Wicked Witch in The Wizard of Oz. And then she was just about to go on tour as in the touring production of Cheaty Cheat Bang Bang as the Child Catcher. And last year she was on Dancing on Ice. So she's done like everything, basically. And she was such a trailblazer. And so kind and so lovely. So it is super sad. And so, yes.
No reason as yet, is there, for her untimely death?
No, they haven't released a reason. And do we need one is my kind of question. Like, do we need to know? I think that's for the family. And it's up to them to decide whether they want to tell us or not. That shouldn't be... Maybe, that's, like, for me, that's not the focus.
I don't think that's how we should reflect on her and how we should remember her.
No. Yeah, for me, the focus is that she's gone and it's another queer person who is only 32 who has lived a short life. And why is it always the young queer people who are that young, who are not with us anymore? And, you know, the kind of maybe... the week, like a couple of weeks or the week leading up to her death, you know, it was Christmas. She was on Blankety Blank on BBC One over the Christmas period, and she got absolutely hate piled on. Yeah, in the 90s, it was hosted by a drag queen.
I know, that was crazy.
So, you know, it is just maybe the world that we're living in, and, you know, whatever the Viv was going through, she was going through. But yeah, the focus is, you know, why is it a young queer person? But Viv want us to remember her like that. She's probably up there with Miss Jason and Paul and all of the other drag queens have passed, and she's probably having a shot. So looking down at us all saying that we're probably all stupid and just to go and have a laugh and the show must go on. But
enjoy life.
It's DragCon this weekend in London at the XL. So Rue and Michelle and drag queens from all over the franchises are all going to be in London. They've set up a commemoration booth for Viv so the fans can go and have some time to reflect and give the queens who knew her and were her friends some time as well. So I think there's still a lot of people getting used to the idea. It's a weird place. You know, it's the second drag queen now that we've lost from a UK franchise of RuPaul's Drag Race. So much love to all drag performers.
Yeah, indeed. Indeed.
Because they're at the front of everything, aren't they? All the time. They're the ones that people go... They're the people that the community go to when there's a time that we need to be rallied for. You know, they're the ones at the front shouting the loudest and
always have
screaming
been.
The loudest. Yeah. They always have been. They always will be. So,
speaking of the loudest, Wicked. Who's seen that? Anyone seen Wicked?
I've seen it twice.
Yeah, twice
in the
already.
Cinema. Twice already in the cinema. And I'm likely may be watching it over this weekend at some point. It's phenomenal.
It is a good movie.
Genuinely phenomenal. And as someone who cries at the West End and the Broadway and the theatre production, I was going in hoping that it would live up to everything that was being said about it. And I can't remember the last time that I went to watch a film in the cinema that I knew so much about before watching, because it's an adaptation of what we all know and love for the last 20 odd years. And excelling and meeting every single hype and expectation that was being said. I can't remember the last time I had that.
Have you seen it, RB?
I haven't, not at all.
Oh, don't miss it, don't miss it. Anyone else in the studio seen it? You have,
yes.
Es? Yes. You have.
I have.
I think my favourite part, I was quite taken aback, a tear to my eye, when the camera was zooming along the yellow brick road, and there were Dorothy and Toto.
Yeah. Oh, that's right at the beginning, isn't it?
Yes.
Because they set the scene.
And she's carrying the broom.
Yeah.
The bit that got me the most, and I wept, was the Ozdusk ballroom, when... Alphaba and Glinda do their little dance together.
Yeah.
That was the bit that absolutely got me. And then when you hear what they did to film that, it's like, oh, Jesus Christ. Because, like, Ariana didn't... She didn't learn the choreography. Like, the choreography. They brought in Cynthia and went, like, do your thing. And then, like, Ariana was watching and then did... Like, she didn't know beforehand what was happening. So it was all authentic. And, like, the looks, like the looks and the eyes of Ariana was, like, live. Mm.
There's the press seemed to have fixated on the looks of Ariana Grande.
Because she's
very thin, isn't she?
She is, but she's also got a history of not having maybe the... closest relationship with, or the healthiest relationship with food, and you know, we just go with what Ariana is telling us, and she's got the right people around her, we know. When you said the look of Ariana, I was like, what, because she's so referenced and she's serving every time she's coming in a new gown. I didn't even think about her way, because she is so referenced, she has done so well. Like, she came out at the London premiere in a yellow gown, and that references Kristen during a scene when they're on Broadway in theatre. Like, everything she's done, like the film, has been... Oh, God, when she said... When she got given the part, she said, I will take good care of her. Mm. And she completely has.
Do you like the way, and especially Disney do this well, about the evil villains? They give a backstory and they're not evil to start with. There's always a twist, isn't there? They always start off quite good.
Well, that's the whole premise of Wicked. That's the whole premise of Wicked, and it always has been. I think what this film has shown, though, and what potentially this film has been given allowance to, is more of Alphaba's backstory to come through, and more of that feeling of being minoritized, being othered. And, you know, the wizard says it himself, what's the best thing to unite people? And that's to give them an enemy. And that is still so true now. So that's always been the premise of Wicked, is that the fact that Alphaba never was the wicked one. It was everybody else around her. But this film has... given more space to that.
Yeah.
Holding space.
We'll hold space for you, Anna.
Hold my finger. Thank you.
So this is actually reminding me of the other queer witchy thing that's happened recently, which was Agatha All Along. I don't know if anyone
knows. Oh, yes, Agatha All Along. And Glinda appeared in that, didn't she, as a reference? Yeah.
So good. Yeah.
With really Joe Young as well. Mm. Yes. Is it Young? No. Joe, what's his name? Is it Young?
No,
it's not.
Out of Heartstopper.
Heartstopper Joe.
Yeah.
Yes. Heartstopper Joe. That's Joe Locke.
Yeah, that's it. Don't tell me about the ending, because I haven't finished watching it yet.
So, all right. Hashtag
I'm
no spoilers.
It. No spoilers.
We've got to go. They've got to put the kettle on before the traitors.
Yeah, of course. Well, it's time for us to go.
It did, and it means we'll be back all the sooner next week. Whatever you're up to, have a K-old week. And don't forget to nominate before they close at shoutoutradio.lgbt/awards.
Bye!
Bye, everyone! Say bye! 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 Love you, bye! Miss you already.